rapping, as you hear these rappers, rapping with a W, and unwrapping is a big part of Christmas tradition for most people. Many of us will be up late tonight, likely wrapping some gifts at the last minute. And in my experience, there's sort of three kinds of rappers in the world. First, there's the perfectionist. And for the perfectionist, you know, the corners are tight, everything's at a perfect 90-degree angle. It looks like they vacuum-sealed the present, airtight. The tape is perfectly invisible. You can't even tell they use tape. The bow is perfectly centered on top of the gift. Each gift has a beautiful to/from tag on it in perfect calligraphy. They've even scented the wrapping paper with perfumes and essential oils, so it doesn't just look good, but it smells good. For these rappers, it's not about the gifts inside. It's all about the presentation. In fact, they've spent more on the wrapping than they did on the gift inside, and they're proud of it. And Christmas morning is really tough for these people. They've been known to have panic attacks and anxiety attacks as they see their beautiful works of art just torn to pieces by people. The second type is the pragmatist type of rapper. These are practical rappers. It's like they don't even understand the point of rapping. They just know it's going to get ripped off and thrown away, so they're like, whatever. They just roll a big wad of newspaper over top. They kind of do some masking tape, some duct tape, whatever it is. They're not putting a to/from tag on there. They're just putting, if you're lucky, the first letter of your first name, J. And if there's two J's in your family, figure it out. The third type of rappers are the preservationists. Now, these people can't handle waste. And they plan to keep all of this year's wrapping paper from gifts for next year's gifts as well. And so they're telling their kids and friends, hey, open that very carefully. Please fold it properly, crease it nicely, because I'm going to put it away for the same gift next year. And the preservationists may also be concerned with the environment, so they'll assure you that they have used 100% post-consumer recycled paper and that it's fully biodegradable and that no animals were harmed in the making of their wrapping paper. So, and yes, they are judging everybody else for the wrapping paper that they use. So you've met them. You know who they are. So wrapping and unwrapping is just a part of Christmas. But did you know wrapping and unwrapping is also a very big part of the Christmas story? So just for the next few minutes, I want to look at this story and how it moves us from bad raps, no W there, just a play on words, to good raps, to unwraps. So beginning with bad raps. So we're not talking about rapping with a W at this point, but bad raps as in maybe not the greatest reputation. Someone who was looked down upon, not considered someone of importance or status. And what's so interesting about the Christmas story is it basically involves a whole bunch of nobodies whom otherwise would have been forgotten in history. We read earlier from the Gospel of Luke how there were ordinary shepherds living out in the fields to whom an angel of the Lord appeared to announce the birth of the Savior. The modern day equivalent would maybe be some workers out in a factory, or some loggers in northern British Columbia, or some workers at a hotel. These were not well-known special people in any way, certainly not rich or well-respected in society, and probably not even particularly religious. And yet the most important message the world has ever known was entrusted to them. And it's possible God chose them because he knew that they would be responsive. Those of importance might have been like, did you say a manger? Like a feeding box for animals? I'm not going to see a baby in a manger. In Matthew's gospel, we learn of some magi, who we call wise men, who are also chosen by God to hear this message. And these were Gentile astrologers. By Gentile, we mean non-Jewish. So they weren't insiders. They would not have been familiar with the scriptures promising a Messiah. They might have identified as kind of spiritual but not religious, as many do today. And yet we learn of their response in Matthew 2 that on coming to the house where Jesus was, they bowed down and worshiped him. See, God doesn't care whether you have a bad rap, a good rap, or no reputation at all. What these people show us is that the message of God's love is open and available to any and all who would receive it. So if you're here tonight and you're thinking, I don't belong here. I'm not even particularly religious. I doubt God even knows who I am. I want you to know there's a place for you in God's story. This is a house for sinners and seekers, for God loves to reveal truth to any and all who seek it. Let's move back to kind of our wrapping with a W theme. And what we find is the greatest gift the world has ever been given, wrapped for us, not once, but twice. Well, let's talk about these good wraps. After Jesus was born, Luke says Mary wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. And the angels that appeared to the shepherds said, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." So that first Christmas, the greatest gift ever, was wrapped in cloths. And I don't know whether Mary was a perfectionist wrapper, a pragmatist wrapper, or preservationist wrapper, not sure what her swaddling skills were like, but this is so profound. I don't know if you've ever thought of this, but Jesus' life is bookended by being wrapped in cloths. At birth, he was wrapped in a borrowed manger, and at death, he was wrapped in a borrowed tomb. For the scripture tells us Joseph of Arimathea wrapped Jesus' crucified body in a clean linen cloth and placed Jesus in his own tomb. He was born and buried in a cave, wrapped in cloth at cradle and grave, the most precious wrapped gifts the world has ever known. The gift of Emmanuel, which means God with us, was wrapped in swaddling clothes, which pointed to the ultimate gift of Jesus' crucified body wrapped in strips of cloth in a tomb. But the story doesn't end there. Instead, it ends in some celebratory unwrapping, just like Christmas morning. So we go from bad wraps to good wraps to unwraps. The good news, what we call the gospel, is that Jesus eventually moved on from that manger, unwrapping the gift of his perfect life that he lived, a life without sin. He lived the most loving and others-centered, remarkable life ever, paying attention and offering hope and salvation to all those with a bad rap, the lost, the least, the left out, and the left behind, those much of the world had forgotten, Jesus paid attention to. And that love for others took him voluntarily to give his life on the cross for you and me, an eternal sign of his great love, dying in our place for our sins so that we can draw close to God. And the way we know he was in fact God in the flesh is that those grave clothes he was wrapped in couldn't contain him. No, those clothes were eventually unwrapped by Jesus himself as he left behind in the tomb those clothes. And after he was resurrected as eyewitness by over 500 people, some of whom wrote about him in the Bible, then he ascended back to where he came from, to heaven, until he comes again, this time in full power, to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, to kind of wrap it up for good. And the good news for all of us is that this Christmas, he would like to unwrap all that holds you back from him and fullness of life. Your sin, fear of death, worry and anxiety, the turmoil in your heart and soul, he will unwrap those wounds and apply his healing grace. See, because he came offering this message of hope to all, even those with bad raps, and because he allowed himself to be wrapped in swaddling clothes as a vulnerable baby, wrapping himself in humility, and because after dying on the cross and being wrapped in cloths only to unwrap them and ascend into heaven, because of all that, if tonight you'll unwrap all that holds you back and offer him the gift of your heart, then you can leave here tonight knowing you're a child of God and a part of his kingdom. So tonight and tomorrow, while you're doing that wrapping and unwrapping, I want you to think of the greatest gift ever given and the wrapping and unwrapping of that story. And so one gift we can offer Jesus tonight is just a few moments of our attention and reflection. So I would ask that we just quietly bow our heads and close our eyes as the band comes back. And just in a moment of reflection, this holiday is called Christmas, Christmas. It literally means a celebration of Christ. And maybe you've never really celebrated him before in a personal way. But tonight, the greatest gift you can give him is your heart, all your affection. And you can talk to him in your own way, whatever is on your heart. But if you can't find the words, then just whisper these words to him, saying, Lord Jesus, thank you for coming as a gift, wrapped in cloths, so that we might know you. Thank you for the life you lived for me. Lord, I've made a mess of my life. We all have due to our sin. But you paid for that at the cross, being wrapped in burial cloths. But you then unwrapped death and rose again so that I might have life. I now place my trust in you, confess you as Lord over my life, choose to turn away from my sin, and receive your forgiveness bought for me on the cross. The greatest gift ever. Amen. And if you prayed that, maybe even for the first time, and invited Jesus into your life and your circumstances, then welcome to the forever family of God. And this is just the beginning. A few important things that you can do. Number one is to tell someone. Maybe tell the person you came with or speak to one of the pastors after the service up front. We'll be here for you. When the shepherds saw the baby Jesus, it says that they ran and they told everyone that they knew what they had seen. Number two is get involved in a Bible-believing, Jesus-loving Christian community. And if you're from here, we're a wonderfully imperfect community. There's lots of bad raps here among us, but we're a forgiven community that loves Jesus. So you can join us each week at 10 a.m. We also have life groups throughout the week in the area and ministries for kids and youth and young adults. And then the third thing is get a Bible and begin reading it. We can give you one. There's some at the front here if you want to come up after the service. There's also some at the back table by these exit doors, and we would love to give you that as a gift tonight. Feel free to take one with you. So we're going to close by celebrating Jesus, the light of the world, by lighting our candles. It's an appropriate tradition on Christmas Eve. For remember Jesus' words when he said, I am the light of the world. And the proclamation about him that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. We celebrate all that in our Savior by inviting you to light your candles in worship to him as we sing the famous song together, Silent Night. So I'm going to ask the greeters and ushers to come forward with candles to help us light the room. And you're welcome to take it from any of these lights. We're one of the few churches left who use actual real candles. So please enable us to continue to do so by not tipping your candle with hot wax, but instead take your unlit candle and go like this to the lit candle and so on so that you're not tipping wax. please extinguish it at the end and keep it upright, and then you can deposit it in the back, in the baskets, on your way out tonight. So each person on the end of the row will be lit. So why don't you stand with me as we do that, very carefully, and enjoy this beautiful yearly moment of worshiping and honoring the light of the world, Jesus, the light that has come to shine in the darkness.
Silent night.